Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, hello. This is Cecilia. Thank you all for calling in and for supporting us. Smile3E. Smile presents Let's Talk. This is Cecilia. And I just asked you to just keep praying for us and encouraging us. And we're going to keep praying for you and encouraging you. And just to let you know that you may hear some noise in the background, but it's all right. We're going to be all right. So I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us and pray for our program. And I thank you all. I thank you all. I thank you all. I can't tell you how much I thank you. So, Minister Sheila, you can go ahead and pray for
us. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Apostle-elect and all those that are listening, I thank God for blessing us with another day, waking us up in a sound mind, and love and praises for him. God, I give honor to you who is the head of our life. He blessed us with another day of life, because we know without you we would not be here. But God, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and can never thank you enough. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for blessing Apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot McCoy, Evangelist and Missionary Tony Montgomery and Linda Handy, and Lauren Seabury. Lord, I give you honor and praise, and thank you for another day for us being here. Thank you for my sisters, my brothers, my sons, my daughters, my grandsons, my granddaughters, to all the family, nieces, nephews, great nieces, great nephews. I just thank you for the family bloodline that you blessed us in. All my aunts and uncles that are here, and the ones that have gone on before. I thank the Lord for blessing us through Lula and Hughie Kaiser, through the Seabury family, through all that without you we would not be. For God, I thank you and ask you to bless us all and to lead us into a better day, that I yesterday would make today better. But yet I know it was a lesson learned and things that we learn each and every day from you and because of you. Lord, I thank you. I ask you to bless this government, to bless them and lead all people, not some people, no matter what your color is, your sex, your religion, or anything. But Lord, we are all sisters and brothers on this earth, and I thank you for blessing us and to raise us up into your life in your way, and to show us the way that is the best way through you and for us, and to bless this law enforcement to take us through, to treat all the same and not just a hand picked because of your color or your sex or your creed. But Lord, we need you more and more each day, and I thank you again, and thank you, and thank you. Lord, like I said, we can never thank you enough for the love, the mercy, and the grace you have brought us through. I give honor to you for this day and for the life you have prepared for me. Thank you for blessing us. I say thank you, thank you, and thank you. Back into your hands, Apostle-elect.
Hello, I'm back. And so today we're going to talk about something that it was really interesting. Reverend Pastor Troy was teaching on being smothered, and it really gave me confirmation on today's thing that I wanted to talk about, because it's part of being smothered, but the message is more about when you're smeared by God versus when you're smothered by the devil. So I know many of you may be like, to be smeared by God?
But see, this smearing is going to be a very different than the smearing that we're used to talking about. Usually when we talk about being smeared, we're talking about how people will try to smear your name or they'll try to do something that actually tries to discredit you. But in this case, we're talking about smeared in a positive way. And so many people will be like, how can you be smeared in a positive way? Well, I think it would depend on your definition of smeared. It would depend on what do you think it means to be smeared? What do you think it means to be smothered? Like, for instance, smothered pork chops. That's good, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the smothering that actually takes your breath away and it actually kills you. So smeared, in this case, is being coated or marked, but it's not in a careless way. It's in a sticky way. It's where something is used not for the false accusations and the slander and the damage to your reputation and stuff that smearing is usually connected to, but this time it's connected to that thing that is covering you, that thing that is saturating you in a positive way. And so many times we forget that words that we use are positive. They can be positive and they can be those that are negative. So in this case today, smearing is going to be positive, but the smothering that we're talking about is not going to be positive, because the only smothering that I would prefer to talk about is being smothered with love, if there's such a thing. And that in itself has connotation of a type of obsession that could actually be negative. But give me some smothered pork chops and smothered steaks and smothered chicken and all of that good stuff that my mom used to make with her biscuits, I'll take that. But that's not what we're going to be talking about on today. So smeared is a sticky type substance that would overspread something. It's like when you say that you're smothered, it usually covers you and it takes away your breath and things of that sort. But in this case, the smothering is going to be used in the connotations of how the devil would use it. And today when we talk about the smearing, it's going to be talking about the adhesiveness of the oil of God, the adhesiveness of the blood of God, the adhesiveness of the wine of God, the adhesiveness of the water of God. And so let's share a few scriptures about the oil of God. Ruth 3:3 says, wash yourself, therefore, anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes now, and go down to the threshing floor, and do not make yourself known to man until he has finished eating and drinking. Now, not only are you washing yourself, you're anointing yourself, and you're putting on your best clothes. How many of you all know, this is not the message, but I just need to throw it in there, that we got people putting on their best clothes. We got people anointing themselves, but they haven't washed themselves. And the water of God that we're going to talk about later will help you to wash yourself. Because sometimes the washing that you may need to do is the washing of your attitude, the washing of what comes out of your mouth, the washing of those bad habits. That's a whole nother message. Exodus 29:7. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. And then Leviticus 8:12 says, then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. See, the smearing of the oil of God that's used to consecrate us. And it's a great thing to be consecrated by God. Mark 6:13. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing. How many people that are sick that do you know? How many people need healing that you know? Have you anointed them with oil? Have you prayed over that oil? Have you even, I'm going to go there, have you used virgin oil or was you just using Crisco? But that's a whole nother message too. Hebrews 1:9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God,
your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And the reason that I said olive oil versus virgin olive oil versus Crisco is because many people are using things that look like it's oil, olive oil, but it's not. And so all of these familiar spirits and things that you see people using, even cultic type messages, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the pure oil of God, the lookalikes. Not, you know, people talk about Memorex, and they talk about how things can sound like somebody but not actually be that. So let's make sure we're using the purity of the oil of God. So even James 5:14 says, is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Excuse me. And one of the things that amazes me is how people get caught up when they prayed for you. Did you say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Or did you say Jesus? Or did you say Allah? Or did you say, you know what? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of Jesus is a strong, strong word and name that's above every sickness, every disease. So please let's not get caught up on if you said be healed in Jesus' name or if you said that God is going to heal you. The main thing to know is that the name of Jesus has been given to each and every one of us to use. So if I pray for you and I say, Jehovah Rapha, heal this person in the name of Jesus. Yes, I did ask for God to heal you, and I did ask for it to be done in the name of Jesus. So there will be a message coming on teaching about God healing you and authorizing and sealing something through the name of Jesus. But that's not on today. 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught, you must abide in him. Luke 10:34. And he came to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Why do we believe that they used oil at that time and wine? It is some things that people don't know about wine. They should, but wine really has fermented-type substance in it that gives you the formation of things that help you to renew and to heal. Because wine, centrally, is symbolic of transformation. It is like the mirror that you hold before you, and you can clearly see your growth, your renewal, your transformation in life. When you hold this mirror before you, God will allow you to see those things that he's doing in you, because he's not going to put old wine into new skin, and neither is he going to put new wine into us. So it's like old and new. Yeah, it goes together with relationships. I don't mean any harm. Yeah, we're always seeing that 60, 70-year-old cougar or man with that young person. So, and it works for them, but that's not what we're talking about in this case of the wine. Is your wine dried up? Is your wine dried up because God has allowed something to overtake you? Moses warned God's people about their disobedience in the voice of God and about how curses would overtake them. And he even reminded them about how their vineyards would never have a pure taste. They would never be good anymore. He also reminded the people about how the robbers would come in and steal their crop. And so in Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah, and Haggai, it talks about how God dried up the wine. It talks about how God allowed the Moabites to have dryness in their wine presses in Isaiah and Jeremiah.
But that same God sends us wine that settles our stomach. I'm not asking everybody to be a wine head. I'm not asking everybody to be out there drinking and doing things of that sort. But I just want you to know that wine does have a healing element to it. In 1 Timothy 5:23, it says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. One of the home remedies for poor digestion is actually fermented drink. Some people use sherry and wine. Some people say they're powerful stimulants for your gastric acidic secretions. Some people use it to have a speedy emptying of the stomach, and I know some of us can relate to the emptying of the stomach. And so the triggering of the relaxation of the stomach wall is actually optimized by a red wine. Now, I can't tell you that I drink, because that would be a lie. I don't drink at all. The various things that wine can offer me, I haven't tried it. So I know there are some people that do drink wine, and they drink it after a meal. And oftentimes when you go to these nice, fancy restaurants and even just okay restaurants, they'll offer you wine. And it's for not just the taste, but it's to make sure that you can have your palate stimulated and so that you can have good digestion after that meal. So it is something that some people will say, well, I was drinking because I wanted to have good digestion. Well, you got to eat food in order to have that. So a lot of times the problem is people are drinking more wine than there are food. And in that case, what are you digesting other than that fermented wine? And that's dealing with drunkenness. And so when we have people that are drinking too much wine or this or that, we have to remind them, you need some water. You need some food. And if you will drink this water, it'll cleanse out your system. It brings life. And also remember, even the Word of God talks about living water. Even when we talk about agape love, it's something that we have the water, the wine of God, the oil of God that refreshes us. It revives us. It renews us. And then we even have Jesus used wine to represent his blood. And so if you're reading Luke 22, it talks about a cup of wine that was shared amongst the disciples. And it talks about how Jesus picked up the cup of wine and gave it and a word of thanks to his Father. And then he said, drink it. And then he said it was like the blood of the covenant, which he poured out for forgiveness of our sins. So it's where you're talking about wine and you're talking about water, they're always connected to cleansing, forgiveness. The fruit of the vine is connected to the Father and his kingdom. And so we have to realize that even when we talk about wine, we're talking about the cups of blessing. We're talking about the cup of the Lord. So let's not let people take wine and pervert it to where we're talking about drunkenness all the time. Let's have the fair balance of what water and wine and oils are used for. In case you didn't know, you can be a wateraholic. And if you drink too much water, you can actually take on a type of sickness that is like you've been drinking alcohol. And it is pretty bad. And so many people have not taken care of that type of patient before. I have. I've taken care of that patient that drinks so much water until it's like they're drunk. And they are. They're in a drunken state because their electrolytes and everything have an imbalance. So don't just think it's about the people that are drinking the wine that can be a type of alcoholic, as they call it. You can drink too much water as well. But I don't know too many people that drink too much water. It's a whole nother message in itself. So let's switch over. We're going to come back and talk about, you know, being born again and the Holy Spirit and things of that sort. But let's talk about the smothering. Many of you may have heard Pastor Troy speak on how the two mothers, and to be exact, they were two prostitutes, were living in the same house, and how the one mother's baby died, and she decided to still the other woman's baby because they had the baby at the same time and they lived in the same home. So that means they had access to each other. Can you imagine someone taking their dead baby and putting them on your chest? You had to be sleeping pretty hard, first of all. And then for someone to do something like that, that is so deceitful. But that's not the main thing that concerns me. What concerns me is the deception and deceitfulness of the enemy. Because that's how it is when we're walking with God. The enemy will try to bring us a word that looks like it's ours, but it's not God's word. So it's like that baby. It's like, okay, you should know your own child. And so you should know the word of God. You should know the relationship you have with God. Well, when someone tries to bring you that false doctrine, you immediately say, oh, this is not my baby. You're trying to lay this on me. That's something that's dead. That's something you came up with. And so we have this one relative that's always sending us stuff via messenger and stuff like that. And it's like they're trying to give us their dead baby. No, don't bring me your doctrine. Don't bring me your dead baby. Don't try to give me that which is smothering you, is killing you, to try to think that it's going to help me live. Because I'm going to treat it like it's that other woman who brought me her dead child after she smothered it. Because that's how precious the word is to me. The word to me is so precious that I'm not going to let you bring me anything dead to replace this word that God has put on the inside of me. And so it amazes me how she will constantly send us these various doctrines. But when she gives me those various messages, I'll look at them. I have to admit, because I'm trying to see, you know, what she's talking about and what I need to pray for her about. I think about, okay, so now you're trying to hand off your dead baby to me. You don't want to just die in this cultic thing that you believe alone. You want to take someone with you. Well, that's the tactic of the devil. We know he's in large hell, and he wants to take us with him. When he was kicked out of heaven, remember, he took a host of angels with him. And so people don't like to be miserable alone. We need to help people be miserable alone. We really do. We need to get to know our baby. We need to get to know our God. So when they try to bring us and plant in us that false evidence that appears to be real, that we know, no, you're not going to come to me in the middle of the night and take the baby that's laying on my chest, the baby that's in my heart, the word that's in my heart, and try to make me think that I'm going to be nursing this dead thing. No, I'm not going to nurse this dead word. I'm going to stick with the light of God. I'm going to stick with the wisdom of God. And so we may not have the opportunity to go before King Solomon, who didn't understand what was going on, if we would be honest. But he sought the wisdom of God so that God could give him that foolish thing to confound the very word that they were trying to tell him, that this was my child. Okay, well, if this is your child and this is your child, cut them in half. Now, people would say, that's absurd. How did he come up with such an outrageous command? It seemed foolish, right? That's what it appears to be. But let's hear this. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 28. Brothers, consider the time of your calling. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Hear that? Not wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly and despised things of the world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. See, you can't try to understand why did he do that. The wisdom of God told him to use that analogy. James 2 and 5 says, listen, my brother, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who loved him? See, the shock and awe of King Solomon saying, okay, to the two prostitutes, let me cut this child and have that you've smothered and that you've tried to bring before us. That's the same way these false doctrines are trying to smother us and trying to kill us to make us think that what they're saying is the word. No, it sounds like it. It even looks like it, but it's not the same. So if you put your rod down and I put my rod down, well, if my rod is from God, my rod is going to swallow your rod up. So if you're bringing me false doctrine, I'm going to tell you, but the word says. Because even the devil tried to fool Jesus, and Jesus let him know, no, I'm not going to bow down before you. I'm not going to do this or that. So we have to stop thinking that the enemy of our soul wants us to be smeared by the oil of God. He doesn't want us to have the water of the word of God. He does not want us to have the wine of the blessings and the many things that God has for us. He doesn't want us to have the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us that, you know, he empowers us to know the voice of God. He empowers us to know when the lies and the accusations and the fakes and the falsehoods are coming to kill, to steal, and destroy that which God has given us. He doesn't want us to know that God is rebirthing us. We're being born again. God has offered us the opportunities to have salvation, to be redeemed, to be set free. He doesn't want us to know that the fire of the Holy Ghost is there for us. And see, the fire of the Holy Ghost will consume and nullify any and every accusation and lie and thing that the enemy tries to throw our way. But we have to know that they're throwing it our way. We have to know that that's a false doctrine. We have to know that that's a false teaching. We have to know that what they're trying to give us is a dead baby. There's so many dead things out here. So if you want to say, no, well, get away from talking about the dead babies, I'm not comfortable with that. Okay, well, let's get away from it. Any dead word, any dead thing that they're calling a blessing, but it's really a curse. All those lies that they've told you to make you think you have the right to be mad at somebody. Who told you that? That's pride. Many of us are disrespectful to our elders because we think we have the right to say what's on our mind. I think the word of God, and I know the word of God tells us to honor our elders. It tells us to respect our parents, but we want to take stuff and mix it with the world standards because the world tells us, I'm just saying, oh, just tell them what's on your mind. The world tells you, you need to be heard. Speak out, speak up. No, sometimes you need to shut up. Sometimes you need to just shut up and pray. How many spouses, I must go here, and I ain't been married before, and that's true. So this is the truth, but it's funny to me. How many spouses need to learn how to? That's right. You just heard silence, right? How many spouses need to learn how to do that? How many children need to learn how to? Uh-huh, that's silence. Because what's wrong with saying yes? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. I have an auntie that hates the way I always say yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She said, you so country. I mean, she tries to insult me out of my respect. What type of analogy is that? How are you going to try to be mean to me to get me to stop being nice? Because she's using the tactics of the world. Because, see, in the world, they will beat your butt. But what about if I love the hell out of you like Apostle Sandra Thomas used to tell us? She says, uh-uh, nope, nope, nope. Love the Hades out of that person. Love them until they get it right. But see, a lot of people don't want to love you until you get it right. A lot of people want to cause you to be bullied. So let's go to this thing that happened to me on the job. I'm going to be honest with you. We were in a meeting on my job. And many of us were on the camera. And it was a young lady. Every time I said something, she made a face. And it was a face that was of disrespect. And me, I'm thinking I'm the only one that see this. This is me because I'm just, you know, looking at it for myself, thinking that it's me. So in sharing my testimony about this, it may help you and it may not. But every time I said something, she looked like no, that's not true. I mean, she would shake her head no, or every time I said something, she even had an opportunity where she spoke up and she was trying to debate with me about what I was saying. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? And I'm trying to figure out why she's making all these mean faces every time I say something. Everybody else could say something, and some of the stuff they were saying didn't make any sense. So then I got a text from one of the people on my team, and they said, Miss Cecilia, what's all this nasty tone about? And I was like, oh, Lord, she saw it too. So now I'm concerned because my employee lets me know that she's seen it. So then I get a phone call from another employee and says, what was all of this or that about? And so these team members of mine were saying this is promoting a hostile work environment. And so these various microaggressions, and I must say we're the same race, this person that was doing that, reminded me how sometimes you're expecting this disrespect and these microaggressions and these micro inequalities to come from people that don't look like you. Well, sometimes it's going to come from that person that works in the church. Sometimes it's going to come from that person that's the leader in the church. Sometimes that thing is going to come from that person that's your sibling or your relative or something like that. But that doesn't mean you leave that thing. That means that you love the Hades out of people because they're trying to smother you. They're trying to smother the call on your life, and they don't know that the devil is using them. So as you love them, as you compliment them, as you give them everything that God is telling you to give them, you're smearing them with the oil of God. You're smearing them with the water of God. You're smearing them with the word of God. You're smearing them with the agape love of God. And guess what? It works. But if you retaliate back, you have now played into the hands of the enemy. Because what the enemy wants you to do is use worldly tactics on worldly people. Because if I hit you and you hit me, we've used the world status. But now if I come back to you with, you know, here's my other cheek. You know, here's the coat that was on my back. You remember? That's what the word says. If they try to sue you, if they try to do this or that, you come back to them with love. So there's a difference between smearing people with the love of God, smearing people with the oil of God versus the accusations and the lies. So the end result of what happened with a person on my job and my team members that were calling me was that I told them, I said, I don't know what that's all about, but I will address it because we have systems to address things like that. And when the person called me, I was still just as respectful as I've always been. I didn't even bring up to them what had happened, but the reason I did not bring it up is because this is old wine. This is old wine, and this is an old bag. And so it's something that I had taken care of before or tried to get the people to work with, but they haven't. So I took it back through that channel to say, now you really need to take care of this. Because when I brought it to you years ago, you all claim it was nothing to it. Well, now my team members are saying that this is a hostile work environment. So now they have to handle it differently. So I use the mechanisms that God gave me to make it happen because I didn't know everybody else could see it. I knew we were on a Zoom call and I knew I could see it. But see, people see what they want to see. And they'll say, oh, she ain't mean nothing by it. Well, now, like I said, it has to be handled differently. So when you're dealing with that person on your job or that person in the store or wherever, are you going to now walk into the laws of condemnation? Or are you going to look at them and say, you need Jesus? And if you tell them that, for instance, we were in a meeting or we were doing something and someone said something and immediately I said, ooh, the blood of Jesus. And I didn't even realize I had said it. And then we were in another situation where someone was being very, I don't know what they were being. They weren't really disrespectful as they were off. Their attitude was off. And all of a sudden, God gave me a melody. And it was with the name of Jesus. And I started singing the song, just walking, singing the song. And it blessed me because then the attitude of the person didn't affect me at all, and I noticed that their attitude changed, but I didn't let it affect me. But see, it takes asking God for his wisdom. It takes submitting to the Holy Spirit of God. It takes letting the wine of God's word and his many blessings to change you. Because really, sometimes when people do that, if you have an instant thing to attack back, your spirit's off. Like it or not, your spirit is off. But when they do that, if you have an instant thing of, God, I need your help right now. Help me, Lord. He'll give you that melody. He'll give you that song. He'll give you that scripture that you need in order to make it through. But many of us would rather tell someone off. We would rather go back at them. But I was very surprised when my employee said to me, they said, Miss Cecilia, because they either call me Miss Cecilia or Miss Kaiser, I noticed when that person was being disrespectful to you that you just kept smiling every time they would do it. But the reason that I was smiling was because God actually had me laughing on the inside. Because when they did it, I said, I know that devil. It was where God showed me this is the same old wine, the same old tactics. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to love the Hades out of them? Or are you going to allow that thing to fester until where it gets on your nerves, so until your blood pressure goes up, until you have a nasty attitude and you start deflecting against someone else? Well, I decided to allow it to die. And once I decided to allow it to die, the enemy sent witnesses to tell me that they saw it to see, okay, let me try to come at her another way. I'm going to suffocate her. I'm going to smother her with this thing that she's been dealing with this one colleague. But he didn't know that this isn't the first time I saw it. And so the people wanted to know, why was it so funny to me? Why was I smiling? But it was because that God showed me the victory that he had given me over it. God wants to give you a victory over the things that are trying to smother you. God wants to give you a victory over the things that are trying to choke you out. God wants to give you victory over those things that think they've got you. Same devil, different agent. Same devil, different tactic. Same devil, different strategy. Are you going to allow God to show you the victories you have? Last thing I want to say from God, this scripture, Isaiah 26, says, I'm going to read verses 5-8, for thou hast been a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in this distress, a refuge from the strong storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in the dry places, even the heat with the shadow of the cloud and the branch of the terrible ones which he brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines of lees, a full of marrow, and the wines of the lees, well refined. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. What is it that God wants to give you victory over that he wants to die? There's something that's trying to smother you, and God wants you to allow him to give you victory over it. What is that thing that tried to choke you? What is that thing that tried to kill you? What is that thing that tried to suffocate you? What is that thing that tried to give you an allergic reaction to? What is that thing that tried to mess with your blood pressure, your breathing, your skin? What is that thing that attacked you, that swarmed you? What is that thing that thought that it could wipe you out, that God is saying, I give you victory over it. So the very thing that's trying to smother you, allow God to smear you with the oil of God. Allow God to give you the wine that's going to heal you. Allow God to give you the water that's going to cleanse you and refresh you. Allow God to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you can seek him for his wisdom, even thing that tries to come back again. That's all I have. Minister Sheila, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle Elect, for that lesson and to that testimony, encouragement to all of us to let us know no matter what it is the devil will use, people, things, objects, material things, humans, no matter what he thinks he can use to provoke you and to turn you from God the Father and Christ Jesus above, to just have things to fight you, to try to turn your spirit and your faith. He will use your family. He will even try to use things that is within yourself. No matter if something goes wrong, he will try to use that against you to turn your faith and trust and belief in God. But no matter what it is, I say each day we wake up, we are going to go through a test. We test our faith and our love and our true belief in the Lord above. I just want to say as of now, the lines are open to each and every one that might have a statement, testimony, or a comment. The lines are open.
Praise God, saints. Happy Sunday morning. This is Minister Margo, and I just want to thank Apostle-elect for those words. Thank her for giving us more insight into what God has already given us. His wine, his oil, his water, all the things that we need in order to, excuse me, overcome the tricks and the devious plan that the enemy has against us, that he tries to come against us with. And I simply wanted to leave the Amplified Version of Isaiah 54, which says, no weapon that is formed against you will succeed. In every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition, God has given us that. We can rely on him. We can rely on God. There's so much that he has for us if we just accept it and apply it to our lives. Thank you again. Praise God and thank him for you, for your ministry. Keep doing what God is telling you to do because you keep blessing us every time for your words on today, and we thank him for his blessing. Okay? Be blessed.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Margo, because it made me think about the weapons that are formed. On yesterday, Stan had got swarmed by a hornet's nest, you know, them just coming out and trying to attack him. And it made me think about how in life we can have things that are just come after us and they'll swarm after us and they try to attack us. And sometimes the after effect might be a type of allergic reaction that can try to choke us and kill us and give us headaches and things of that sort. And how I thank God for you sharing that message about the weapons, because the weapons, they're going to come. They're going to come and they're going to form. But as you said, they do not have to prosper. So thank you so much for that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Minister Margaret McCoy, for your statement and testimony and remarks. Is there anyone else?
Minister Sylvia said amen.
Amen. I just want to say I thank you, and I thank you, God, for blessing us all into letting us know that you are with us no matter what the devil throws against us, that you are there to protect us and lead us and show us that you can fight many different ways, different battles, and we just need to give it up to you, pray it up to you, and just put it into your hands. Just no matter what the devil attacks, you always have the answer. I just want to say thank you all for listening, tuning in to this program, and to ask if you can tune in each and every Sunday morning. Let's talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. And on Monday nights, which is Blog Talk, and also Facebook, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, with a host of speakers. And this Monday night, the speaker will be Minister Margot McCoy. That program starts at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Iron Sharpening Iron, which is mighty, magnificent men and women of knowledge and teachings and understandings and lessons that they can impose on you to learn to have a better way of life with God. And on Friday night, which is Blog Talk and Facebook too, Let's Talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas, which shares Friday night from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the word of the Lord is forever in our heart. Was there something someone wanted to say?
No, I just want to say, I'm sure, Minister Sheila, I'm sure many of us can think about various things and tactics of the enemy that he's tried to use to smother us. But we can also think about so many things that God has done to protect us. And I would just want us to please concentrate on the things that God did out of that attack. And if we concentrate on those things that God did out of that attack, we will really be blessed, because the enemy wants us to concentrate on nothing, but we really need to concentrate on the oil that came from it. I believe Minister Sylvia wanted to say something. Hold on.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to say, with listening to the program today, I thought about how on this past month, really, my job had been on strike, and we were striking for a better way of life, for upgrades for pay, upgrades for being recognized at our job, because we worked through a pandemic. We worked through something that the world had never saw. We worked through being put in a situation where the world had been shut down, and we was watching people die around us due to COVID. Me, myself, I had caught COVID twice, and yet it's still my job did not want to acknowledge us. They put up signs in the job that said we were heroes. That's what they were saying in the public eye. But behind the scenes, we were treated like zeros. They didn't care if you worked or how you worked. They just wanted to make sure the work was done. They didn't care if you had help. They just wanted to make sure the work was done. So we went into contract negotiations to ask for pandemic pay, ask for COVID pay. They sat down and told us that we were worth a penny. And I could not believe they said a penny an hour. So that means I had to work all day to make 8 cents, but I had to work 5 days a week to make 40 cents. And we went back and forth. Then they said they came with a better offer. You, how many of you all remember Venture and Kmart? They said they had a blue light special. They was offering us a blue light special, and it went up to 5 cents an hour. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, my God. Then they went back and forth with us, and they came back and said their great and final offer was this Blue Light special with some goodies. They was throwing some goodies in that we could not refuse. They told us it was 10 cents an hour. And they was going to go up on our health insurance. So you're telling me that you want to give me a 1% raise, and you're going up on my health insurance 3%. So when you talk about smothering, that comes with where the boss wants to smother you with poverty. Because when we started negotiations, we laid out a platform. We gave them paperwork of our request. Management looked at the paper, and they didn't even examine it. They pushed it to the side and said, oh, no, this is not how this is going to go. It's going to be business as usual. And we said, no, this will not be business as usual. So then they got mad. They started retaliation. Not only at my job do I have to deal with management now trying to smother me with insults and unfair treatment. I have my coworkers that I had the nerve to stand up for, because when God sent me back to work, he sent me back to work for a purpose. And I thank God that he used me to be the one that he used for this situation. But when you sit back and see people that say they want better, that say they would love to have better, and you sit back and see when they ask God for a way out and God gives them a way out, how they so used to being treated like nothing, they would go back to being, they would smother themselves into wanting nothing, having nothing, and standing for nothing, and will block the person that's trying to help bless them. So I hope that covers a attitude of showing being smothered, because all the time, as the woman of God, Apostle, was saying earlier, smothering ain't always with love. Sometimes you could be smothered with hatred, envy. People will smother you with misunderstanding. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your words and encouragement and your testimony. Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, is there anyone else that might have a word to say before we close the program? And I just want to thank each and every one, for those that wanted to speak but could not, and those that are listening out in the iCloud. I just want to say thank God for this blessed day, for each day it is a merciful love, and to praise his name and to honor him, and to remember our foundational scriptures, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Just remember, no matter what it is, from head to toe, from your inside to the outside, your health, your family, your job, your neighbors, or just within yourself, God is the answer. Put it in God's hand, and he will deliver and show you that he can solve each and every thing. Amen and amen, and have a blessed day.